and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, it is the return of the flagship show of MLW. It is Fusion, episode 132. But of course, we're going to start this party off with the news. We got a batch of doings coming out of Super Fight from February 26th in North Carolina, specifically in Charlotte at the Grady Cole Center. Just announced this past week there's going to be a fatal four-way for the National Openweight Championship. The Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane, with Mr. Thomas, will be taking on Matt Cross, Calvin Tankman, and ACH. A relatively interesting matchup, putting some bodies in between Kane and Tankman, who have been feuding recently. Also featuring the return of Texas native ACH for the Super Fight card. And then, just because everyone likes him, Matt Cross. I say this dismissively. I'm a big Matt Cross fan, but like, I don't remember him winning any matches in MLW to get this title shot. But, you know, what do I know? And never mind that. Also announced is a grudge match between Enzo and Casey Navarro. For those of you who don't remember, Navarro was injured by Enzo previously, taking a crucifix bomb into the ring post, fracturing Navarro's neck in the process. Enzo shows no remorse, and because of that, MLW owner Court Bauer had suspended him up until the Super Fight card. Also announced, speaking of blood feuds, we have a Stairway to Hell match between Mads Kruger, the Black Hand of Contra, taking on former MLW World Heavyweight Champion and Contra Unit Traitor, Jacob Fatu. Evidently, a Stairway to Hell match is a ladder match, and hanging above the ring instead of a briefcase or a title belt is going to be weapons to use in the match. So this here blood feud is getting interesting between Fatu and Kruger. And last but not least, a pair of debuts are coming out of Super Fight. It is Ricky and Kerry Morton are scheduled to debut. Of course, Ricky Morton, legend of the Rock and Roll Express and the light heavyweight division of WCW. It will be debuting with his son, Kerry. And, you know, I haven't seen much of Kerry, but, you know, do you love me some Rock and Roll Express? And the R&R Express are on their retirement tour, so I'm just grateful for any other opportunities we could see Ricky Morton in action and possibly, you know, see the starts of a third-generation wrestler in and of himself. So, super psyched to see that, and of course, to go along with the other legendary announcement from last week of an appearance by Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I think he's going to be a matchmaker for the night's card, so, oh, hats off to him. Hopefully, he does a good job and does not raise the ire of the former Dario Cueto Cesar Duran. In other Major League Wrestling news, it has been announced that tickets will be going on sale for MLW Azteca. Now they're calling it Azteca Underground again. This time, they'll be taping north of the border in Dallas, Texas at Gillies on Friday, April 1st. It'll be a special matinee wrestling event and interactive experience. The interactive experience and event includes a lucha lunch. So I guess if you get the first and second row tickets, you get a VIP lucha lunch taco bar. You get a tour of Cesar's office. So I will pay someone $5 if they successfully steal Cesar's bull and survive El Jefe in the process of it. Oh, speaking of El Jefe, maybe it's a terrible idea to steal his bull because you have an opportunity to meet the matchmaker himself. And we also get to meet Microman and the Micromobile. Hey, that's nifty. Actually, this one's kind of cool. I'm going down the list of, like, the official pamphlet thing here. Create an action figure of you with your favorite MLW wrestler. So that's kind of neat, actually. It scans your face and you get a special, like, 3D printed action figure here of you with your favorite MLW wrestler. So that's actually kind of cool. And also, like, an escape room event, Cesar's Heist. So you get to search Cesar's Cathedral of Violence for an Azteca treasure hunt before the show kicks off. So this is all crazy. I love it. Like, it almost wish it makes me wish like I would like leave my mother's basement and go do cool things like get action figures made with my favorite MLW wrestlers and eat tacos with people instead of just, you know, having my jacuzzi filled with pizza rolls and whatnot. But that's actually like really neat. Like we can sit here and be snarky about it, but like I mean, it's a really cool VIP experience kind of thing. I think, and not enough companies really do like a full VIP thing. So I'm kind of excited, even though, you know, I'll be stuck up here in the Midwest and not spending my April Fools eating tacos with the MLW crew. Maybe someday they'll just, you know, accept my creepy invites to visit my mother's basement with me. But until that day, a man can dream, or just, you know, get a first or second row ticket and go to Azteca show. Anywho, let's move along. All right, Fusion is back on TV. This is episode 132. We have a big World Heavyweight title match in our main event as ya boy Alexander Hammerstone takes on Pagano in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Pagano has been kind of the hired gun for Cesar Duran, so we are continuing the Cesar Duran-Alexander Hammerstone feud. Actually, speaking of that, that's how we are going to start the show here. Cesar, we got a video package of Cesar, you know, noting the consequences for refusing to respect his power, and shows various clips from MLW Azteca, with mostly, you know, Hammer beating up, you know, or being beaten up, whichever, by the Lucha Goons. We do cut to Cesar live-ish with a cowboy hat. He is not thrilled to be in Dallas, but notes that Alexander Hammerstone is a bit like Texas. He's all talk. Got some interesting camera work that allows Cesar to be all blurry. And yeah, he's going to speak real slow for the Texans and then proceeds to speak real slow for the Texans and spends way too long rolling his R's and being annoying in the process. Following this, we get a brand new intro package, and we are welcomed to the show by Rich Bocchini and Joe Drombowski. They reiterate that our main event is for the World Heavyweight Championship, and the biggest takeaway, they had nothing to do with this, but there's a hot dog in the crowd. Like, hot dog, man. There is a literal Frank in a bun wandering around the crowd in Dallas, Texas. So that is awesome. That is all I have to say about that. We get a replay from last week of Richard Holiday in Beverly Hills. He's evidently out and shopping for someone special, takes a picture with a fan. Not really sure what the purpose of that was one way or another, because nothing really happened. But we also get footage of him being kicked out and told to stay out of Riverdale by the Lucha Thugs, which is how we ended last week's MLW Azteca. This is all quasi-relevant, because our first match of the evening features Richard Holiday. He will be taking on King Muertes for the IWA Puerto Rico Caribbean Championship. Holiday was a former holder of the belt, beating Savio Vega for it. And he will be facing the man who beat him for the title in the form of King Muertes. Since their last meeting, Holiday has grown himself a pair. He is no longer afraid of Muertes. They're trading chops and shoves and shoulder tackles before Holiday finally takes Muerte down. But for his efforts, he gets to eat a spear. We go to break, and when we come back, Holiday's being clubbered, but gets a double down with a double clothesline in the process. We get a babyface comeback, 1987 style, that ends with a rope-assisted DDT for a 1.5 count. Can't even get two off that comeback. I mean, that really shows how ineffective as a face Richard Holiday is. Like, you can't put a man down for two with a rope-assisted DDT. Come on, man. Gotta work harder than that. In the meanwhile, as I'm ranting on incoherently, Mill counters a 2008 stock market crash into a nifty power slam. They go back and forth again. Hammer is backstage. I jumped the gun on my notes on there, so wait like 8 sentences and we'll get to them. Meanwhile, there's back and forth between Mill and Holiday. Mill goes for a suplex and it gets countered by into the 2008 stock market crash. But before Richard Holiday can get the pin, some Lucha Goons come out distracting Holiday. He ends up taking them out. We cut backstage where there's even more Lucha Goons fighting Alexander Hammerstone. Hammer's just chucking them around like ragdolls. When we come back to the action, there's a chair left in the ring by one of the Lucha Goons, and Mill takes a hold of Holiday, gives him the straight to hell flatliner. 1, 2, 3, still your Caribbean heavyweight champion, King Muertes. Solid enough matchup. I was hoping for a bit more fire, but we kind of made up for it with the shenanigans at the end. So obviously, instead of just being a traditional opener, this match was going to be a story-driven affair. And really, it is. It set the bar for the night and set a lot of things in motion that, well, let's face it, we're already kind of in motion, but now just moving even faster into the process. But still, King Muertes is still your champion. We follow this up with the Jacob Fatu exclusive part 3, going over his background, and this time he talks specifically about attending a social function or a party with his neighbors when a drive-by occurs, and his neighbor's little brother was shot and killed in that drive-by. And just, you know, how that affected him, and how really just kind of that kind of push to get out of that potential lifestyle allowed Jacob to really kind of dedicate himself to the sport of professional wrestling, and then by proxy, Major League Wrestling in the process. Next, we get the classic little black and white promo video that we've gotten the last several weeks with the hourglass and the exploding computer monitor, but there was a slight change in there. There's some like grinny screamy dude with hair that looked an awful lot like a guy named Killer Cross, if Killer Cross would happen to have hair. But you know, this is no surprise really, because I've been speculating, if you will, that it was Killer Cross all along, because that's the kind of background shenanigans that Cross likes to do in the process of, you know, living life. Going from this black and white art house film, we are moving on to the stately estate of Mr. Saint Laurent. He is in his family's library. He has found himself a big free agent, the biggest moneymaker in the business right now, is looking forward to debuting him in MLW, but he's working out the details with Cesar Duran, but gives no hint as who this mystery man is. And confiding with my source, who's close to a lot of the, you know, the backstage scuttlebutt in the realm of professional wrestling, my sources tell me that it is Joe Hennig. So congratulations, Joe Hennig, Curtis Axel, Michael McGillicuddy, whatever you want to be called nowadays, on your future in Major League Wrestling. Okay, and moving on from just wild speculation, Emilio Sparks is trying to get a word with Alexander Hammerstone backstage. Hammer's not really interested in it. He wants to go check on Holiday. Holiday's back in the trainer's area with Alicia Toot. He knows that he's feeling all right. He's got Hammer's back tonight. You know, he'll do anything for you, Hammer. So, move along from there. All right, let's take a brief pause for the cause. Check out them thingies that seem to be energy drinks and or melatonin-ins, and I will be back un momento.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back with our next match. It is the judge returning home to Dallas, EJ Nduka, taking on Ikiru Kwon. We'll start the match off hot before the bell even rings. Kwon just effing kicks the judge in the face. I caught him flush. Like, I was impressed. Like, he didn't, like, sell it more. And not to say, like, oh, he's being a jerk. Like, dude just got kicked in the face. I don't think he was supposed to sell it anywhere near as much as he did. But he got kicked flush, and I just had to, like, giggle because little dude just kicked a big dude in the face. So it took a lot of moxie to do that. A lot more kicks are then thrown until EJ is just like, nah. And just starts, you know, chucking Kwon around like a rag doll. We get a swinging face buster, a three-corner Oklahoma slam before finishing things off with the spine buster. Your winner, the judge, EJ Nduka, who wasn't entirely thrilled with the amount of competition, but he willingly goes to the back. Kwon, meanwhile, thinks he got his shoulder up before three and is calling BS on this shiznit, if you will, and he's ready for another fight. And not just any fight, he wants the Contra traitor, Jacob Fatu. Fatu, evidently in the building, is willing to oblige, and comes out. Kwon cuts him off, but, you know, despite being an underground pit fighter, you know, Kwon is obviously concussed, not thinking straight, and he's also fighting a former MLW World Heavyweight Champion, so he gets a thorough thrashing, gets a swinging Uranagi for his efforts before getting splashed through a table brought into the ring by Jacob Fatu. Following this massacre, we have a Super Fight Control Center. We are reiterating that the main event for Super Fight is going to be Alexander Hammerstone, assuming he gets out of this match with Pagano alive and with the title. We'll be taking on Davey Richards. Ricky Steamboat will be there. Enzo will be there. And TikTok. It'll be the return of Killer Cross. So it looks to be that, for once, I was correct in my speculation that someone was returning, at least in this case, TikTok. It is Killer Cross back with MLW. He had a pretty darn short stint before being signed to the WWE. It looks like he is officially back with the promotion now. Next week, we are going to get 5150 in action. They are taking on Los Parks in a return match for the MLW Tag Team Championship. 5150 has some words about this, but really, they're mostly just doing this for Conan. Conan, of course, had surgery fairly recently, so he can't be there in person, but they are going to make sure that his spirit is felt for this match as they defend the World Tag Team Championship against the former champions themselves. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. Pagano versus Alexander Hammerstone, Falls Count Anywhere, for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Both men, as the bell rings, go for kicks. There's no kicks for anyone. No kicks for you. No kicks for you. Pagano, though, does get to take over. Briefly, because he gets hammered down and then decides he just needs to wander around the crowd to get a garbage can. So he chucks a rubber trash bin into the ring, takes Hammer down, goes for a trash can salt, and utter whiffs. Hammer hits an ugly looking power bomb onto the garbage can. And when I say ugly, I don't mean like he had problems getting Pagano up or anything like that. I mean, like, he threw him onto the trash can, and, like, because it was a pretty sturdy rubber, instead of just, like, collapsing under Pagano's weight, he just kind of bounced off of it for, like, a weird little scary moment there. So that was kind of an oof moment. The two brawl outside the ring. Pagano is whipped into a car hood. There's a hood of a car just under the ring that was brought out. Only gets a two count for that, though, because who does that, really? Yeah. As there's brawling around the ring, I totally thought Pagano got skewered by Hammer. Like, you just, all of a sudden, I just see this wooden handle just get thunked into Pagano's head, but it turns out that was a plunger, so Pagano got plungered. I just didn't see the, you know, the rubber suction cup portion of this. Pagano does come back, though, after being back suplexed into the ring apron, the hardest part of the ring, or so commentary is told, does a lot of clubbing blows to Hammer before we go off into a commercial break. When we come back, they are brawling backstage, and then back up through the crowd. We get a double knee face buster on Hammer for two onto the arena floor. Like, that looked gnarly. In the process of celebrating this two count, Pagano bites a fan's beer can in half, and I was mildly impressed by that. They wander into the ring as Hammer's getting ready to march like a dork into the ring. He gets the ropes kicked into his nads, because that's what happens when you walk around like a douchebag. You get ropes kicked into your nads. But this doesn't last long. Hammer gets the skewers and skewers Pagano in the forehead. They're just sticking out and flopping everywhere. This only just serves to wake Pagano up. He clowns up, gets a running neck snap for two. Hammer, though, powers through it, hits a modified burning hammer for a two count of his own. There's a rope-assisted pile driver onto a chair by Pagano for two. Hammer just keeps getting the chair then kicked into his face, like, a handful of times, just various kicks to the face with a chair in front of it. Pagano sets Hammer down outside of the ring into the steel chair, goes inside, runs around a bit, dives through the ropes, goes for a tope suicida, well, tope con hilo, more likely, because he does a full flip in there. Hammer, though, plenty of time to just wander out of the way, and Pagano just eats the chair with his back. He's going to feel that one tomorrow. That only got a two count, though. In the ring, Hammer hits a front dropkick, missile style, off the top rope that hits Pagano so hard he flies into a board that was set up in the corner of the ring. At this point, we have interference by the Lucha henchmen. They're down. Hammer takes them all out. Richard Holiday comes out with a baseball bat, the great equalizer. While this chaos is going on, Hammer hits a nightmare pendulum on Pagano and gets the three count. Solid match. Hammer retains, of course. Your boy has to retain against any sort of clowns, but of course, there wouldn't be a party if there wasn't a clown. And, like, depending on what your take on hardcore brawling is, this was a pretty solid match. I mean, it was fairly slow-paced. It wasn't, a total wild Buckhouse brawl, but, like, they used every bit of the arena at their disposal as they wandered around. And of course, there were some gnarly looking bumps in the process. And of course, the clown got skewered. And really, what more could you ask for? The clown got skewered. But going back, the show's not over yet. We're getting ready to have words with Alicia Toot. She come out to celebrate with Richard Holiday and Hammer. Evidently, though, as she's trying to get this interview going, the microphone's not working. She's just tapping away at it. Noting it won't work. She's wandering around trying to get a fresh microphone. And, microphone right to the dick, man. Alicia Toot. Turning heel, hits Hammer in the dick with a microphone, and from that moment on, Holiday jumps in and just starts beating the snot out of Hammer with a baseball bat and clubbing him, screaming like, it was always me. And I talked this over, like, with the wife. Like, she's just like, what's going on, why are you screaming this nonsense? And, like, let's face it, man, like, I say this as a fan of Richard Holiday, but he's kind of a douchebag. And really, like, he's a douchebag that is, going along with his best friend and his best friend's adventures. Unfortunately, his best friend's adventures force him to get the shit kicked out of him an awful lot. And not to say that Hammer has not taken lumps, he has. But Holiday has taken a lot of abuse, and he's even lost one of his championships because he stood by Hammerstone during Hammer's feud with Dario Cueto. I mean, Cesar Duran. Old habits die hard, even though he's been Cesar for, like a year now. But, like, you know, we kind of knew this day was going to come. I just didn't expect Alicia Toot to be a part of it. Like, she, almost like she was the mastermind of it all. Like, she's in there with the microphone, hitting Hammer in the dick, and then slapping him, and, like, making out with Holiday. Like, it's like, what's up with all this stuff, man? Like, I get the Holiday part. Like, where do you come into play? Like, are you some JR-esque Jezebel? Like, you know, leading Holiday into a temptation? Just the other way around? You know, was it just some mutual thing of, like, they wanted to hook up, which is cool, they're adults, but, like, she got tired of seeing the guy she wants to hook up with just get the crap kicked out of him every week just because Hammer wants to be a knight in shining armor? Like, I don't know, but, like, you know, the joke kind of came true when they and Hammer first won the title, and after War Chamber, you know, Holiday kind of joked about the turn that was coming, even though it didn't happen exactly as the two predicted. So we got that shocking turn of events for the return of Fusion. So we're kind of curious to see what's going on there to figure out. Again, like, I expect this from Holiday, but why Alicia? Why? And really, like, a green dress, you know, as the Bare Naked Ladies, your fellow countrymen, you know, said, not a real green dress. That's just cruel. Anywho, I've wandered on along. This has become entirely too silly if I'm just ragging on fashion choices at this point. Needless to say, again, like, I'm actually very surprised at the turn of the events for the return of Fusion. And just definitely ended the show with a bang. Unlike this show, where we're just going to end it like we normally do, where I thank you all for listening to me. Thank you all for tolerating me for the last half hour or so. You know, stay tuned for plugs and the best ways you can help support the show. Get some merch. I don't know, join the Patreon. If nothing else, just follow me on Twitter, because sometimes I talk about not wrestling things on there too. But really, just thank you all, and I'll see you next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted at Anchor FM. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review would also be helpful. Word-of-mouth advertisement, of course, is very important for us small podcasts. For my social media links, they can be found in the description below, but the Twitter and Instagram are both at The Nova of Cass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual chip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. That is CassOnova. If you'd prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova. Where for as little as $1, backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So head up the crew and join Maverick45, Alan Schroeder, and Keith Wynn, and check it out. You can also find t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net/collections/theconfusionpodcast. There's hyphens in between the Confusion Podcast, of course. And for other business inquiries, such as ads and sponsorships, please email me at rzkammerer, K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.